Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. You can go online to schedule your next appointment and learn more at OrthoSensi.com. That's OrthoSensi.com. I'm your host, Double T. Glad to be with you on this Monday evening. Another jam-packed Crunch Time for you. 30 minutes of nonstop sports conversation surrounding high school athletics here in the area. We are going to talk about a couple individuals, one from Oldenburg Academy, another from Lawrenceburg High School, that have some awesome stuff going on in their lives. Just yesterday evening, the IHSAA announcing their baseball and softball sectional pairing, so we will go through that. And on the second half of the show, I want to give my thoughts on the Bengals NFL draft from over the weekend, making 10 selections. So, yes, I feel the need to explain myself every week. Yes, we are talking high school athletics on this show, but we will venture out and do some things outside of high school athletics if it pertains to the tri-state area, whether it be college or pro sports. And I think Cincinnati Bengals, a pretty popular topic. So I want to get into the draft and how that went for said Cincinnati Bengals over the weekend. But without further ado, we're going to start by talking swimming with Oldenburg Academy's Nash King, a freshman that really just broke onto the scene his first year, obviously high school varsity swimming, and a great year it was for Mr. Nash King, and so much so that he caught the eye of people not only in the state of Indiana, but beyond, because Nash King has been selected to attend the 2024 U.S. Swimming Zone Select Camp. This is a camp that is going to take place May 30th through June 2nd, and it's not just going to be held anywhere. It's going to be held at the Olympic and Paralympic Training Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Now, for Nash King, like anybody else that was invited to this camp, was invited based on performance during the 2023 long course, and he was one of the fastest 13, 14-year-old boys in one of the Olympic events, earning recognition and earning a selection to that camp. So for Nash King, a state qualifier in the 500 freestyle with a time under 5 minutes. Very, very impressive. He was the fastest seeded freshman in the state in that event this year. And also throughout the season, he helped Oldenburg Academy's 200 medley relay and 400-yard freestyle relay teams set school records. So just based off of those three things alone, you could see why the ceiling is very high for this young man to potentially achieve some really awesome dreams. To kind of give a correlation to this, if you want to remember back to Mason Paris being a freshman at Lawrenceburg High School, didn't win the state championship in wrestling, but you could see that he wasn't far off from doing that. He would go on to win 3 state championships in a row, a national championship at Michigan, and now he's going to be pursuing a gold medal at the Paris Olympics this summer. So maybe a similar type trajectory for Nash King. He makes it to the state round this past season as a freshman. Who knows? Maybe he has a state championship in his future, particularly in that 500 freestyle event. Time will tell, and that can blossom into a great college career and potentially being on Team USA. Now, one of the big things about this particular camp, that being the U.S. Swimming Zone Select Camp, is that one, he's going to get a chance to show what he can do in the pool, but there's also going to be some classroom sessions that are designed to motivate these athletes that are invited to this camp as they continue their swimming careers. And the hope is that some of the attendees, not all of them, but some of them will eventually put themselves in line to potentially qualify for their first USA national junior team. Maybe that translates into being on the senior team down the road. But a huge opportunity for Nash King to get himself in front of some, I would say, pretty important people that are a part of USA Swimming. It's going to be an opportunity for him to better himself as a swimmer, and with those classroom sessions, probably pick up some helpful tips that's going to help him throughout the rest of his high school career. And hopefully we're sitting here talking about him being on the national junior team somewhere in the near future. So really, really cool stuff there. A big congratulations to Oldenburg Academy's Nash King. May 30th through June 2nd, going to be out in Colorado Springs for the U.S. Swimming Zone Select Camp. I think off the top of my head, there was about 114 swimmers that were invited to this camp. So pretty elite company for Nash King. All right, moving on to our next topic. I promise we talk about a young lady from Lawrenceburg High School. I was actually invited out to my alma mater last Friday as Lilia Miller signed her letter of intent to continue her academic and athletic career at U.S. Merchant Marine Academy in New York. And before we get into the full story about Lilia, why she picked that school, and going into the family business, I do just want to preface this story by saying there are a lot of college signings here in the area at all of our various schools, and I would love to be at all of these signings. There's too many. There's no way I can get to all of them. I was invited to this one by Lilia's father, and I had the time open, so I was glad to go over to Lawrenceburg to cover this particular event. And I think this one is a little bit different than just signing to play a particular sport, because I mentioned family business. So for Lilia Miller and her family, the military is a big, big deal. And talked to Lilia on Friday, and she said she chose Merchant Marine Academy because of the opportunities she's going to have after graduation, but it's also because the military has played a really big part in her life and her family. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that right now, because I also talked to her sister, Hannah, who was also a graduate of Lawrenceburg High School, and she's going to be graduating from the Air Force next month. She told me military and public servant type careers is what the family business is. So for her dad, he served. Grandparents were in the FBI. Another grandparent was a pilot in the Japanese military. So it is a part of the Millers to be public servants or be in maybe military or law enforcement. And I bring up law enforcement because that's what Lilia really wants to do once she's done with her schooling and the opportunity to go to the military branch of her choosing. She's currently leaning towards the U.S. Army or the U.S. Navy. But anyways, after that, it's all about law enforcement for Lilia. She's actually been mentoring at the Dearborn County Sheriff's Office, so this is something that she's seen up close and personal and something that she's very passionate about and wants to pursue as a career after all of this schooling and soccer and taking her time in the military is done. But soccer is going to be a part of this, and Miller has been a part of the Lady Tigers soccer program for 4 years, and they have sustained a lot of success during her time there. She tells me that one of her biggest accomplishments was receiving the Eye of the Tiger Award, which she earned for helping lead the Lady Tigers to regionals her junior year. Another successful season as a senior for Miller and the Tigers, and she didn't necessarily think that she was going to play college at the, play soccer at the college level, at the next level, but after she got done with her senior season, the more she thought about it, the more she realized she was really going to miss playing and wanted to make that a part of her journey from now to getting to that law enforcement career. So this is a really, really cool stuff. And to have two siblings go into a military academy, go into military service, that is something unique to Lawrenceburg High School. We were chatting about it a little bit before the signing in the athletic department. Ryan Kaniga was in there, and he was kind of rattling off a bunch of names of students that have gone into a military academy or service, but couldn't quite pinpoint if there were any siblings that had actually done it. So maybe it's a first at Lawrenceburg, maybe it's not. And again, what we discussed in the athletic department that day, we're only going back, you know, a handful of years, what could be remembered off the top of the head. So there may be some from a little bit further back that would just take a little bit more research. I don't necessarily have those resources here. So what we're just going to do is say this is a really, really cool feat that two young ladies that are sisters are forging a similar path. And for Lilia, she really looks up to her big sister, Hannah, and talked about the impact that she's had on her life. And, you know, a lot of times, like Lilia said to me, you have younger siblings that say they do look up to their older siblings, and maybe they're just saying that, but she really does mean it, and is kind of following in the footsteps of her and others in her family that have done it before her. So again, I thought it was a really, really cool story. And outside of, you know, military service and playing soccer, Lilia also is involved with other sports. She's competed in cross country and swim. She's currently competing in track and field, where she hopes to break the school record for the opening 100 meter by the end of the season. She tells me she's about 3 seconds off, so working every day to try to shave time to get to that school record. And she's also a member of Big Brothers Big Sisters, where she's learned a lot of leadership qualities. She also said she's learned how to follow by being a part of that organization, which means a lot to a lot of folks around here, part of student council and other extracurriculars as well. I think the list was too long for her to even list them all off, but a well-rounded student athlete at Lawrenceburg High School, and really, really cool that there's a family business, family pathway there to basically being public servants. You can never have too many of those. So a big congratulations to Lilia Miller signing to play soccer at the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy in New York. That ought to be a cool experience to, you know, further her academics, athletics, in a different place, in New York, little bit away. So she's definitely going to be on her own. That's going to be an experience like none other. Going away like that for the first time can be a difficult thing, but she seems like she has a really good head on her shoulders and some great family support there as well. And I got to mention the friend support that she had at this signing. It's really cool to see fellow students come through just to be there for a friend, say congratulations, take pictures. You could just tell that there was a lot of happy people in the room. Obviously, Lily is going to be very happy putting pen on paper and making things official. But to see other people happy for her as well, it just kind of warms your heart a little bit. So these college signings are really, really cool. If you get a chance to be a part of that, whether it's your kid or someone that you know, you'll get what I'm talking about. It's a pretty special thing. So glad I got to cover that event on Friday, and hope nothing but the best for Lilia with her future endeavors. So we're going to talk a little baseball and softball as well, and then we'll break, come back, and talk about the NFL draft. I got some thoughts on the Bengals, as I always do. But right now, let's make the transition into baseball. The IHSAA releasing the state tournament pairings yesterday evening. And on this particular show, I just want to run through and give you a look at the brackets. Look's not the right word because I'm on the radio. You can't see it. I'm going to tell you what the pairings are. We're going to break this down a little bit more in depth once we get closer to sectional week. Now, for baseball teams throughout the state, there's going to be 386 teams in the field, and they won't start sectional games until May 22nd. They'll run through Memorial Day, so we got a little bit of time to prepare a larger sectional baseball show. Softball will be included in that as well, but the regional game is going to be played on June 1st. That will be in a doubleheader format at the same site. Each winner advances to a four-team semi-state on Saturday, June 8th, and then four state championship games played at Victory Field in Indianapolis on Friday, June 14th, and Saturday, June 15th. Breakdown by class: 97 in 4A, 97 in 3A, 95 in 2A, and 97 in 1A. 383 games will be contested in just 25 days to crown state champions across four classifications. The champs last year, Penn, won it in 4A. Silver Creek was the champ in 3A. Ileana Christian won in 2A, and Lafayette Central Catholic the state champ in 1A. Now, looking at local sectional pairings, Class 4A, Sectional 14. Again, this is baseball at Shelbyville. The matchups are as follows. Franklin Community will take on Columbus North in Game 1. The East Central Trojans drawing Whiteland Community in Game 2. And the winner of those two games will play in the semifinals, and the winner there will play either Columbus East or Shelbyville in the championship game. Class 3A Sectional 29, the EIAC Sectional, minus East Central, of course. South Dearborn drawing Connersville. These games will be played at Lawrenceburg on that brand new, beautiful turf field. What they've done over there, it looks absolutely awesome. Love the orange fair poles or foul poles, whichever way you want to look at it. The outfield wall liner That looks really cool. Says, you know, Lawrenceburg Baseball, home of the Tigers, EIAC logo. Looks really, really sharp. So this is going to be a great place, a great host for the Sectional 29. But again, South Dearborn versus Connersville in the first game. Lawrenceburg drawing Batesville in the second game. Rushville gets Franklin County. Greensburg will play the winner of South Dearborn and Connersville. That means the winner of Lawrenceburg-Batesville will take on Rushville or Franklin County, and then the championship game to follow. Class 2A Sectional 45 at South Ripley. Milan drawing Brown County in Game 1. The host South Ripley Raiders will play Hauser. Brownstown Central takes on Austin, and Switzerland County will play Southwestern Hanover. So those first two games, Brown County and Milan, Hauser and South Ripley, two of those teams will meet in the semifinals. Brownstown Central, Austin, Switzerland County, and Southwestern, two of those teams in the other semifinal. Class 1A Sectional 60 at Jackson Dell. Oldenburg getting South Decatur in Game 1. The winner of that matchup will play either Jackson Dell or Waldron, and the other semifinal will be North Decatur versus Southwestern Shelbyville. And Class 1A Sectional 62 at Shaw Memorial. Rising Sun drawing Trinity Lutheran in Game 1. Henryville will take on Crothersville. The winners of those two games will meet in the semifinals and will play either Shaw Memorial or New Washington in the championship game. So there's your breakdown of what, five sectionals that will include local teams in high school baseball. Now we'll flip over to softball side of things and give you a little rundown about the state tournament that starts on May 20th, 39th annual softball state tournament here in Indiana. Field of 372 teams, which will be narrowed to 64 sectional championship winners. That round runs May 20th through the 25th. One game regional on Tuesday, May 28th. Four team semi-states on June 1st, and four state championship games June 7th and 8th at Purdue University. So you break down by class: 96 in 4A, 96 in 3A, 94 in 2A, and 86 in 1A. 368 games will be played in 20 days to crown new state champions. Penn, much like in baseball, was the softball champion as well. New Prairie won in 3A last year. North Posey, the 2A champion, and Tecumseh was the 1A state winner a year ago. Class 4A Sectional 14 at Columbus East. The host, Columbus East, will take on Franklin Community in Game 1. Columbus North drawing Shelbyville. Whiteland Community will play the winner of Columbus East versus Franklin Community, while East Central is already into the semifinals. They will play Columbus North or Shelbyville in their first sectional matchup, so only got to win two games to win it all. Class 3A Sectional 29 at Rushville to be Franklin County versus Batesville in Game 1. Big rivalry matchup in the first round. South Dearborn and Lawrenceburg play Game 2. Connersville will take on Greensburg in Game 3, and Rushville will play the winner of Franklin County and Batesville in the semifinals, meaning South Dearborn or Lawrenceburg will play Connersville or Greensburg in the semifinals. Connersville was the champion last year. They had a dominant run, 14-0 in the conference, and obviously won the sectional championship as well. Class 2A, Sectional 45 at Milan. Milan, pretty strong team this year. They'll play Game 3. We'll get to that in just a minute. Southwestern Hanover will play Brownstown Central in Game 1. Switzerland County gets Hauser in Game 2. Milan drawing Brown County in Game 3. And South Ripley awaits the winner of Southwestern and Brownstown Central as they draw the bye into the semifinals. Class 1A Sectional 60 at North Decatur. Jackson Dell will play Waldron in the opening contest, followed by North Decatur versus South Decatur. So rivalry there. Oldenburg gets the bye and will play Jackson Dell or Waldron in the semifinals. And 1A Sectional 62 at New Washington. It will be New Washington taking on Henryville in Game 1. Rising Sun will play Trinity Lutheran for the right to go to the championship game. And Crothersville awaits New Washington or Henryville in the semifinal. Rising Sun having a great season. We will be talking more about them between now and the start of sectional play. I can assure you that because, well, they do good things pretty much on a nightly basis on the softball diamonds. So, all right, there we have it. Talked about Oldenburg Academy's Nash King and he going off to the U.S. swimming camp. Lilia Miller, another congratulations to her committing to U.S. Merchant Marine Academy to play soccer and pursue law enforcement down the road. That's great for her. And then the baseball-softball sectional pairings. Now we step aside for a short break. When we come back, I'm going to talk a little Cincinnati Bengals and the NFL draft. You're listening to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine on Eagle Country 99.3 and at EagleCountryOnline.com. Welcome back to Crunch Time on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3 and at EagleCountryOnline.com. I am Double T, glad to be with you on this Monday evening, and a big thanks to our friends at OrthoCincy for their continued support of this show and high school athletics as a whole, and hopefully a bunch of student athletes in the area took advantage of the free sports physicals at OrthoCincy this past Saturday, got themselves ready for the 2024-25 sports season. I am ready for the 2024-25 NFL season because it's one I've circled for a long time because I believe in sports destiny, and I've been talking about it for a long time, saying that the Cincinnati Bengals winning the Super Bowl in Louisiana with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase on the team, winning the first Super Bowl in franchise history in the place that those two gentlemen won a national championship. I just think that has storybook written all over it, but that's why you play the games, and they got to go out and win them, win enough to first get in the playoffs, then go on a run and hopefully win the whole thing. But one of the big ways that you can get yourself to the playoffs and continue to be a strong team is to hit in the NFL draft. And we are going to talk about the Cincinnati Bengals draft here in just a moment. But I kind of want to tie this into the NFL draft because it certainly does tie in. I was looking back at some Facebook memories, and 13 years ago on this day, I Facebooked, I guess. Carson, you have been replaced. Andy Dalton, welcome to the jungle. Who day? So I was apparently pretty pumped up that the Bengals had found their Carson Palmer replacement, drafting Andy Dalton in the second round to pair him with first-round pick A.J. Green. I think those two guys went together pretty well, and the Bengals won a lot of games with them. They made the playoffs quite a bit, just could never win that elusive first playoff game in a long time. But I will say this, I think the Andy Dalton, A.J. Green experiment did work to a point. It just didn't work quite as well as Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase does. But I digress. Anyways, yes, it is that time of the year, and we're going back 13 years. I've always been super intrigued by the NFL draft. I love the whole entire process, looking at all these different players, playing the what-if scenario. What if the Bengals draft this guy? Well, they can go this direction in the next round. Well, they need to target this particular position, but they also need to maybe go for the best player available at a certain time. All that stuff fascinates me to an absolute T. So once they start drafting players and people are falling off the board and some others are hanging around on the board, and you're talking about, well, could they trade up here? Could they trade back? What's the best play? Do they just stay patient, wait for guys to fall to them? And for the Bengals, more times than not, they're usually in a trade back scenario, or they just wait and let players fall to them. And letting players fall to them is exactly what happened in this 2024 draft. Now, I'm going to use NFL.com for the grading scale just because, well, it's NFL.com. That's a pretty good place to go, I think. But for the Cincinnati Bengals, I think they got some middle-of-the-road grades for the 10 gentlemen that they did pick to be on their team. There weren't many A's being handed out across the board. NFL.com gave A grades to Kansas City, Pittsburgh, and Seattle. There was a bunch of other teams that got A minuses, but a true A grade only went to those three teams. I've seen other services give teams like Baltimore an A. Kansas City and Pittsburgh have been pretty consistent up there. For the Bengals at NFL.com, a B minus, which that could be a little harsh. I would bump that up to maybe just a B because I thought their draft was solid. I don't know that anybody looks at it and sees it jump off the page like, oh, wow, they got all these guys. I think they got good players, and they also have high upside players. So their grade could change between now and the end of some of these guys' rookie contracts based on if they play well on the field. And, you know, the teams that were given A's for their draft grade, they may not end up being A's in a few years. It could go the other way as well. And that could be said for the Bengals, too. We might look back on this draft a few years from now and say, what were they thinking? Dirk Bentley reference. They didn't get anybody that was worth a darn. But let's just break it down and start from the top. I'm not going to go super in-depth on all of these players because really once you get past the first four, I don't have as much information on the players beyond that. Some maybe a little bit more than others. But first-round pick, I talked about it a little bit throughout the week. Amarius Mims, I've kept calling him Amarius. It's Amarius, so I've got that corrected. Mountain of a man from Georgia, offensive tackle that slots into play on the right side. It does look like they're going to cross-train him for right and left. Initially, the reaction was, I can't be super excited about a player that is likely to not be on the field as a rookie. When you're picking 18th overall, first-round pick, really, if you just have a first-round pick, you hope that those players are going to come in and play and make an impact on your team, especially if you're a team that is thinking that you can win a Super Bowl. At the same time, I super understand the pick because protecting Joe Burrow is the main thing that they should be worried about. Now, you got Orlando Brown playing left tackle. They gave him a bunch of money an offseason ago. He was okay the first year in the Bengals program. I suspect that he will play better in year two at left tackle. They signed Trent Brown, who has a similar frame, to play on the right side. 1 year, $4.5 million deal. He's very good in pass protection, but he has had injuries throughout his career, so he's not dependable to play 17 games in a season and then beyond into the playoffs. If he does have a healthy season, I think he'll be really good, and no one's going to have to worry about him. At the same time, it's a one-year deal. He can bridge the gap between himself and Amarius Mims starting at right tackle. That gives Mims a year to learn and grow under the two Browns, Orlando and Trent. I just had a brain fart there. Yes, Trent Brown. Anyway, so from that perspective, maybe that's the best thing for Amarius Mims. He only started 8 games at Georgia, had an ankle injury last year that prevented him from starting more games. When he was in there, he was really good, especially in pass protection. He gave up 0 sacks, 6 hurries. That's exactly what you want. And at his size, 6'8", 340 pounds, he moves incredibly well. So athletically, very, very gifted. I think he has a chance to be a really good pick, which would change that grade in the future. So after the offensive tackle goes off the board, the other big glaring need for this team was depth at defensive tackle. Outside of Sheldon Rankins, who they signed in the offseason, and BJ Hill, who's been a steady, consistent player for this team for the last couple of years, they needed some other guys there, and they need some guys to plug up the holes and stop the run. Dead last in run defense a year ago were the Bengals. Sheldon Rankins, he can play run defense, but he's known for getting after the quarterback from defensive tackle. Just watched the Texans-Bengals game last year. He lived in the backfield. BJ Hill can do a little bit of both, but Chris Jenkins from Michigan, even though I'm an Ohio State fan, was a guy I had circled in the second round, and that's exactly who they take with the 49th pick. This guy may be a little undersized, but all of the draft experts say freakishly strong. I think he did 29 reps of 225 at the combine, so very, very strong and known for being a run defender. So that's great. Multi-year captain at Michigan, arguably the best defensive player on the team that just won the national championship, and his dad and uncle played in the NFL. So he's got the lineage. I think this is a guy that's going to play 10-plus years in the NFL. Hopefully many of those years will be for the Bengals winning championships. In the third round, this is my favorite pick of the draft for the Bengals, wide receiver Jermaine Burton out of Alabama. 20.3 yards per catch last year, led the SEC in that category. So not only was he making big plays, but making big plays against some of the best players in college football, because we know how good that conference is. He has elite athleticism, if you ask me. He's got great speed, can get behind the defense, and I think this is a young man that has a chance to blossom as a rookie, especially because he's going to be playing with the likes of Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, who are going to take a lot of the attention. So Jermaine Burton, get ready, because you're going to have one-on-one coverage all the time, and you can be a great threat for Joe Burrow going down the field. So love that pick. He does have some character issues. The reason why he went in the third round when he otherwise probably would have been a first rounder. And then McKinley Jackson, nose tackle from Texas A&M. It was definitely worth doubling up at defensive tackle, especially because they don't really have a nose tackle guy on the roster. So 326 pounds, another run stopper is McKinley Jackson. And my favorite thing about this guy, I think he's one of my favorite players already. All these players have introductory press conferences so they can meet the media, meet with the team and everything. He wore a t-shirt and athletic shorts to that introduction because he was ready to get to work. So I like that mindset. Some of the other picks, they double up at tight end. Eric All out of Iowa, formerly played at Michigan. Tanner McLaughlin from Arizona. All coming off an ACL injury, but a lot of people like what he is athletically, and as a tight end, he is a guy that is a potential pick. Yeah, he could end up being a really good player down the line if he stays healthy. Tanner McLaughlin, a good pass-catching tight end. So if you hit on one of those two, that's great. Cornerback was another position that I really thought that they needed to go after, needing some depth there. Of course, they announced that Dax Hill's moving from safety to corner, so that helps the depth. But Josh Newton, a pick in the fifth round. They get him from TCU. He played in 60 games in college, so he's well-seasoned there and was a very good corner, very consistent for the Horned Frogs, and he also can play outside and in the slot. So his versatility is going to get him on the roster, if you ask me. They took a defensive end and a safety out of Mississippi. Both played pretty well in the SEC, so they're going to have every shot to make this team. And then center Matt Lee from Miami. A lot of people said that was their best pick in the seventh round, and a lot of people were pretty shocked that he was even available in the seventh round because he was a pretty good player. So we'll see if he makes the roster. Some of these guys likely won't. It's not really that likely that all 10 of these guys will pan out. If you can hit somewhere around the 50% mark, you can chalk it up as a pretty good draft. But Mims, high ceiling. The two defensive tackles, I think, are going to go right into the rotation, in particular Chris Jenkins. But I think McKinley Jackson will be there as well, and Jermaine Burton. I think that might have been the steal of the draft for this team in the third round. I also really like Josh Newton out of TCU. So hopefully these guys are panning out, and I'm not looking too stupid year two or three from now when none of them pan out. Again, I thought the Bengals did pretty well for themselves, getting not only players that filled needs, but also taking some best players available at certain points in the draft. So I would love to talk about this even further, but at the end of the day, I think that B grade is right on the money right now for the Bengals, and if they can just get a few of these guys to hit, or maybe even hit big as like potential all-pro players, then you can maybe get that up to an A minus somewhere in that region. But who knows, maybe a couple years from now we're talking about this being a slam dunk cornerstone type of draft for this team. But yeah, at the end of the day, always super excited to talk about the draft. It has now come and gone, so schedule release is probably the next thing I'll be really excited about with the Bengals. But as always, thank you so much for tuning into the show. Really appreciate it. Hopefully you enjoyed it. And a big thanks to Ortho Cincy again for their continued support of this show and athletics in the area. This is Crunch Time on Eagle Country 99.3.